Missiology Podcast is back after a mid-season hiatus. I'm your producer, Greg McKenzie, and I'm here to tell you we're glad to get this show back on the road. This season has been about exploring our guests' experiences in missiology and their hopes for its future, and we're going to continue that conversation in this episode as your host, Martin Rodriguez, sits down with Timothy Park, Senior Professor of Asian Missions at Fuller Theological Seminary. Let me remind you, we have great bonus content at patreon.com/missiology. We need your support, and it's well worth your $2. Let's get to it.
So I want to thank you, Timothy Park. Dr. Timothy Park has been the Director of Global Connections and the Professor of Asian Missions, faculty at the School of Intercultural Studies for over 20 years now, maybe 22 years.
22 years and 4 months.
22 years and 4 months, and this is actually a very significant month. So December 31st is your last day. That's fantastic.
As a regular faculty.
So your areas of expertise, Dr. Park, include cross-cultural church planting, Asian mission discipleship. You have also, as an Asian missiologist, you've been very significant because you have founded PTS College in Advanced Studies in Korea, also
in the Philippines.
In the Philippines,
Presbyterian Theological Seminary.
And then, as on top of that, you have you've been significant in Asia among Asian missiologists because you helped to found the Asian Society of Missiology and also the Institute for Asian Mission.
Asian Mission,
Okay. So we're very grateful to have you on our podcast, and we hope that you will share with us some stories today. This is a podcast that is very much about how God has shaped your missiology, has shaped your understanding of Him and the things that God is doing in the world. Tell me about a high point as a practitioner or scholar in the field of missiology, a time when you felt very motivated, very engaged, very alive. An experience that you see as shaping your missiology, something that has shaped your missiology. What happened? Who was involved? Tell me about it.
I was a missionary to the Philippines for 15 years. I got involved in cross-cultural church planting and the seminary education. I planted a couple of churches in Metro Manila and nearby provinces in Luzon Island of the Philippines. And I founded the Presbyterian Theological Seminary to equip men and women for the ministry in local churches. So I trained Filipinos and then Asians and even Africans who came to the Philippines. And then I think I made many trials and errors, because I did not understand the missiology about mission. I think I carried on mission responsibility with my instinct and common sense, not with deep knowledge of the mission. So until I came to Fuller for advanced studies, I made many, the mistakes.
Perhaps you could tell us about one of those mistakes.
Instead of becoming a servant leader, as a missionary with the power, with the material resources, and then I tried to hire the Filipinos to do ministry, and then I became a boss, and then I was the one who...
Like you became the CEO.
CEO and funded them. And then against my will, the churches I founded, and then churches founded by missionaries, were not healthy, not dynamic, not reproducible, but remained very weak. And missionary, the relationship between missionaries and the national pastors, was not good. It's an employer-employee relationship, and then patron and client relationship. So, strangely enough, you know, the church is founded by missionaries, both, you know, Western missionaries and Asian or Eastern missionaries. We're not growing because they highly depended on missionaries, missionary funding, missionary leadership, while churches planted by Filipinos without any, you know, help from other countries, foreigners, became, you know, or becoming strong, dynamic, reproducible.
Did you start to notice this while you were, is this in the midst of founding PTS and it, you're watching, you know, you're watching the people you're training and then you're watching the other churches in Manila, in Metro Manila or also other
Metro
places?
Metro Manila and then the other provinces.
And you start to notice this difference. You start to notice a difference between the churches that are thriving and maybe some of the other churches. There, you are the CEO, right, of these other churches, but they're not thriving.
But when I came to Fuller, after about two terms of ministry, I received education, mission education at SIS.
So the School of Intercultural Studies.
Yeah, it really has had a great impact on my, you know, life and ministry ever since. And I think I did better than, you know, before. Upon a return to the Philippines. But later, when the number of Korean students increased here, the school, I think, felt the need of a Korean faculty. So school invited me. So after much prayer, I decided to come to Fuller. It was 1996. 15 years I did ministry in the Philippines, and then from 1996 until today, you know, over 22 years I've been teaching here. And while teaching here, both my study at Fuller, you know, as a doctoral student, you know, and then my teaching at the Fuller Seminary since I joined the SIS faculty, you know, they have shaped my missiology and then even my character and then my ministry. When I came here as a professor of Asian mission. So, you know, to better serve the seminary as a professor of Asian mission, I founded the Institute for Asian Mission. I challenged my fellow Asian missionologists to work together to help Asian churches become dynamic missionary churches. And then I served as founding director of Institute for Asian Mission. We call it IAM. And raising funds and then providing scholarship to fellow Asian students. The purpose of IAM, Institute for Asian Mission, and then the Asian Society of Missiology are the same. To help Asian churches become dynamic missionary churches through our research, publication, consultation, education. But what is different? What is different? As I said, I served as a, you know, director of IAM. I was the permanent director, no change of leadership. So I was the owner, but others were just a guest and they didn't have the psychological ownership. So I decided to do it, to do this kind of ministry together. So, though I served as founding president of Asian Society of Missiology for 6 years, and, you know, from 2003 to 2009, but after that, you know, until now, I serve as president emeritus, and then I love the society, and then I do my best, even after I, you know, turned over leadership to Indonesian scholar, and then Thai scholar and the Japanese scholar, now Korean scholar. Until now, most of the, you know, members, they have ownership. psychology ownership. This is our organization, our society. So I think I could serve the society better.
That's good.
Another high point is that I served as a head chairman of Asia Missions Association, AMA. That was founded in 1973 to encourage Asian churches and missions work together for the missionary work in partnership. You know, I served the AMA from 2010 to 2016 for two terms, now as honorary president. Every 3 years, we hold triennial conventions and Asian and non-Asian missions leaders come together and share our views. And then our philosophy and then our strategy together to better serve not only Asian churches but also you know, the African churches and Latin American churches, North American churches. So whenever we hold the triennial conventions, leaders from all the continent, you know, gather there together and we publish and we, you know, consult and educate. From 2004 until now, I serve as president, international president of the East-West Center. We have a center here in USA, and one in Korea, Seoul, Korea, and one in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And then we are encouraging national churches to have their own East-West Center. With their own board member, own officers, but we share the vision and the resources together. I could serve, you know, IAM, ASM, AMA, East West Center. I think because I was SIS faculty, people did not know Timothy Park, but they know Fuller School of Intercultural Studies. So school gave me wings to fly and then opportunity to serve the global churches through this the institutions, through these agencies. So, you know, I was born and raised in Korea. My ministry was among college, university students and then Korean army, Korean soldiers. But later, at you know, Presbyterian Church, but God called me to the Philippines, and then there I could serve the Filipinos and then the other Asian church ministry candidates and then students from candidates from ministry candidates from even African countries, but still. It was for Presbyterian Church. But when school called me to this school, Fuller Seminary, this is, you know, international, interdenominational, multi-ethnic. So the school broadened my
ecumenical imagination.
Knowledge and the dimension or sphere of influence. You know, I can say I am truly international, interdenominational, you know, multi-ethnic. You know, through ecumenist.
In many ways, as I hear you recounting your journey and in the significant, especially significant positions of leadership where you have been able to be a founder, a significant influence in your circles, both in Asia and throughout the world. One thing that strikes me is two things. One of them is you are a bridge builder. In many ways, you are bringing people together. You say, it would be easy for me to maybe just work with the Korean, you know, ministers and missionaries and missiologists, but that is not what you've done, right? So you've founded institutions that are about bridging and coming together, collaborating with the Philippines, Thailand, China, you know, in many places.
Yeah. You know, I was a director of Korean studies. Later I found that anyone can serve as director of Korean studies. But I was going around the world Mm-hmm. Every continent, mm-hmm. you know, particularly Russia. But always I carried the, you know, director of Korean studies. It yeah, was not yeah. appropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something others yeah. can do.
Yeah.
So the school gave me the title director of global connections. So I could connect the fellow SIS faculty mm-hmm. members mm-hmm. to global churches and missions. Mm-hmm. I was related because I was the president, head chairman, director. So I could, you know, mm-hmm. help them. So until I retire, I have served
yeah.
as a director of global connections, mm-hmm. you know, connecting global mission or church leaders to Fuller and the Fuller to global churches.
Mm. It's an important job. When you told your story about the realization in Manila, working as the founding president of PTS in Manila, you had a very significant shift, maybe of power sharing, right? Uh-huh. From being yeah. the one who is in power to a more power sharing kind of a dynamic mm-hmm. In your own leadership. Mm-hmm. And you use the words like ownership, mm-hmm. right? So it gave people more ownership and maybe because of that they felt more belonging, like they wanted to invest more because they mm-hmm. felt more ownership. So one of my questions as you were sharing that very important shift, can you remember a moment maybe when you were visiting one of these dynamic churches or when you were visiting, you're talking with someone who you realized they think of themselves like my client instead of my partner, yeah. instead of, can you remember a situation like that?
Yeah, You know, while, you know, I was a leader and then owner of the ministries, my fellow Filipino co-workers, you know, the Filipino pastors, they considered me as boss and as a patron who financially support them. Mm. They always listen to me and listen to other missionaries. But while we supported them financially, they were very cooperative, obedient, mm-hmm. and then they were yes men.
Mm-hmm.
But after I finished my degree program here at Fuller, when I returned to the Philippines, I said, what I did in the past was not right. So I decided to encourage Filipino pastors to make their churches self-governing, self-supporting, self-propagating, you know, mm-hmm. truly indigenous church.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to make them, help them to depend on God only, I said I should not, you know, they continue to just fund them.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I fund them, mm-hmm. support them, I try to, you know, control them or, you know, demand them.
Mm-hmm. Or they also, they feel a sense of responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, like we owe you something now. We owe you our obedience because mm-hmm. you are supporting us. And on their side, it's also difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's also challenging.
They, you know, they were like missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of considering them as a people, mm-hmm. person,
mm-hmm.
love of, object of love, I consider them as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
Who will achieve my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I did after much repentant prayer here,
mm-hmm.
I returned and then I encouraged them
mm-hmm.
To depend on God,
mm-hmm.
not missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I encouraged my fellow the missionaries to stop supporting them. Giving them tuition, you know, tuition scholarship for the children, doing relief work, and then taking care of them when they are sick, it's okay. But giving them salary for preaching the gospel and for planting churches. That's not right. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. While why the churches founded and supported missionaries are weak, mm-hmm. while there are the churches do not or did not receive any financial support from foreigners, mm-hmm. Become dynamic church. Mm-hmm. One single church, as of 2006, had 300 members who had a 40-day prayer, fasting prayer.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Church became so dynamic. 12,000 members. All the churches founded by Christian missionaries from four different large Christian denominations in Korea, and the two major Christian denominations in Korea worked together, but the number of Christians, believers, were less than one church.
Mm. Mm.
And then, their dynamics were different.
Mm.
And then missionaries themselves did not preach the gospel, did not, lead Bible study group, did not offer disciple training.
Mm-hmm.
They just hired the Filipinos and then gave them salary and then had them work. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that I said, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when I asked Filipino pastors, informed them, we are not going to support anymore. Though they got mad.
I was about to say, I'm sure that was not good news.
They were mad. And some missionaries objected. They are poor. How can they live without support? But after much prayer, we declare that we will no longer support them, until mm-hmm. certain, period of time.
Yeah.
So as long as they received help, financial help from missionaries, they were very cooperative, obedient, calm. But when they knew they are not receiving anymore, they called the field directors of different mission group, mm-hmm. Protestant mission group.
Yeah.
And then they began to criticize missionaries. They demanded. I cannot say in this short interview everything. And then they said, we Filipinos will organize separate church. This is our new constitution. This is new bylaw.
No, wow.
What are you going to do? Will you do right or separate from us? We were shocked. While they received the financial help, they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But when support discontinued,
they found their voice.
So it was shocked. But the sound relationship, interpersonal relationship was built since then.
Mm.
We just respected,
mm-hmm.
and then with the dignity and respect, we began to work. When relationship, employer-employee relationship, was broken.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God for that.
Mm.
But since then, even today, if they ask me to support for building their sanctuaries, mm-hmm. or doing, I do not help.
Mm-hmm.
But if I hear anyone is now in the hospital or anyone is physically very sick, or there is the husband, the pastor died, but the wife and children do not have a place to go,
mm-hmm.
then I, by help of my supporters, purchased a home for them.
Mm.
And then when there's no way to, educate the children because pastor, husband died.
Mm-hmm.
So we supported,
scholarships,
gave scholarships,
grants.
Until finish university and become a professional, until marriage, because I knew there was no way.
Hmm. That's good. One of the things I hear, it's an important tension in your story. On one hand, you have the dynamic of in some ways pulling away and saying, mm-hmm. you will be self-supportive, you will be self-governing, you will be self-propagating, whether you like it or not. You know, even if you disagree, if you want your salary, but we're going to distance ourselves mm-hmm. in some ways. Of course, the relationship is still there. The relationship is still there. Respect is still there.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is some independence
yeah.
that we are requiring. This independence in your life is also in some ways counterbalanced by your own desire to be a bridge. Mm-hmm. So in some ways there is the, you know, you need to be independent, but at the same time, I will still be here to global connections, right? I'm going to be here to be a resource. I will be here to share strategies with you and you with me. But a bridge, even as we see the need for mm-hmm. independence and mm-hmm. for you to have your space and for me to have mine grow and share them.
So I am now more careful than before.
Mm.
You know, how to, you know, help the people I serve.
Yeah.
In the past, I just try to support them directly.
Yeah.
But now,
yeah.
indirectly or directly, but wisely, you know, according to the needs and then even how
mm-hmm.
in
you know,
how to help.
So my second question. Mm. is about how you've been influenced by other missiologists and other practitioners. In fact, you shared that Fuller was a very important time for you. I want you to tell me some stories, some things that happened while you were at Fuller mm-hmm. that contributed to your own research, your ministry, maybe some conversations that you had with missiologists here that helped to shape you. So when you went back to the Philippines, for instance, mm-hmm. as an example, you had new ideas. Tell me about those, maybe even a class that you took here or some conversations that were important.
A particular class that changed my, helped me experience paradigm shift was Charles Kraft's cultural anthropology course. It was epistemology. You know, how do we know? What do we know? Mm-hmm. You know, I was a Presbyterian. I was proud of my Presbyterian doctrine, theological position, and I thought it was the best. And then eventually, you know, did not respect other theological you know, positions. Mm-hmm. Always had a superiority feeling. And then others looking down. But he said, you know, it's about the reality. How do we perceive reality? You know, mm-hmm. there's a naive realism, you know, critical realism. What is another thing? Absolute realism. But we are influenced or controlled by previous, you know, pre-knowledge. So with that small knowledge, limited knowledge, we judge or evaluate others.
Yeah.
So when I attended the class, I accept the Bible. I did not absolutize anything, only what what Bible says. But then even knowledge and the theology. So objectively, I could, you know, try to see, not in perspective, you know, subjectively. So that made me, that class changed my life and the attitude, even toward women, even children, young people, other church. So that class made me humble and then made me begin to see reality with humility, and that made me listen to others, you know, respect others. When my attitude changed, even others, you know, the attitude to me also changed. Mm. And another course that changed me was Bobby Clinton's leadership course. Mm. I highly respected and admired Paul, the Apostle Paul, but not Barnabas. because Apostle Paul was famous enough. He wrote in most of the New Testament books. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to become, a missionary like Apostle Paul, yeah. but not Barnabas.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, he was not famous. Yeah. But later, when I came here, Paul could become Paul because of, influence of the Barnabas. Mm. So before, while I was doing missionary work in the Philippines for 15 years, I was in leadership position. Mm. I was field director. I was president of the seminary, one of the largest seminary there. And then I was the president of Association of Korean Missions in the Philippines. There was about 39 Korean missions there. Mm. I always received a spotlight. Mm. Even I enjoyed such a reputation and the praise of the people. Mm. But when I came here, when I learned leadership, the servant leadership, I decided to become a person like Barnabas. Mm. So for over 30 years, ever since from 1987 I came here, mm-hmm. after I took Bobby Clinton's class, from that time on, I did my best to acknowledge, to encourage, to build people around me, to respect them. So normally in the past, I am president, mm-hmm. you are secretary, mm-hmm. I am director, you are associate, mm-hmm. then you should listen. That was my attitude, mm-hmm. at least. Yeah. But now, I am not here to be a boss, but for the coming of the kingdom of God. If God is glorified, if God's will be done, if His kingdom comes, who cares? Mm-hmm. So our position, leadership position is, just to serve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that kind of a change Fuller, brought me, made me change it and then, changed my life and then ministry. Mm. So what I found, the ministries I have been involved have been more productive than before, when I try to do everything myself, mm-hmm. according to my will, but when I respected others and worked together with them. This leadership course and then cultural anthropology course have a great impact on me.
Great examples.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Thank you. So the third question is about God's agency in your life. So the question is this: can you tell me, remember a time when you recognized that God was shaping you as a missiologist? He was shaping your understanding of mission. Tell me how this happened.
When I read Dr. Otto F. Glaser's Announcing the Kingdom and Dr. Ralph Winter's article, Kingdom Strikes Back in Perspective, these two people, through their writings, influenced me to see the main theme of the Bible in history is coming of the kingdom of God. In the past, as I said, I was a priest, ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church in Korea, the largest denomination in Korea, with about 3 million baptized members. And then as a president of the Presbyterian Theological Seminary of the Philippines. But I was confined to the Presbyterian doctrine, Presbyterian Church. And then, not only my denomination, but most of the Korean denomination, if not all, send missionaries to the countries where they do not have their own church, mm-hmm. according to their mm-hmm. theological tradition or the church.
Yeah.
And plant Presbyterian church, Baptist church, mm-hmm. Methodist church, mm-hmm. evangelical church. So I myself, including others, considered mission as expansion of their church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, most of the Korean missionaries, if not all, plant churches according to their denominational, mm-hmm. Tradition. Found the theological seminaries according to their theological tradition. Mm-hmm. Even if there are a lot of seminaries, they do not work together mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. I was the same. But when I read their books, Arthur Glaser's book, mm-hmm. Ralph Winter's book, mm-hmm. our focus was coming of the kingdom of God. And later I found that, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Mm-hmm. Even give us daily bread, this kind of prayer, all focused on coming of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So my ministry shall not be expansion of my kingdom or Presbyterian church, but the coming of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. So I am focused on, you know, kingdom. No matter how different the theological background, but we are co-workers, co-soldiers.
That's right. That's right.
And that made me work together with open mind, mm. with full trust in them. That's, you know, two leaders. Mm. And another one, you know, David Bosch. Mm. David Bosch, transforming mission. God has used, you know, different the missions in different the era in the history, course of history, you know, Greek Orthodox Church, Roman Catholic Church, Presbyterian Church, they have a different theme, but all they are in the Bible. So the mission method or mission strategy I used or theme were not the one and only, mm. but I, mm. you know, came to know that. Mm. God has used different churches, different time, and there have been emphasis, you know, mm-hmm. in different, according to the need of the world. Mm-hmm. So that gave me a broad perspective or flexibility mm-hmm. in doing a missionary work.
That's excellent. My next question is about your contributions. What do you think are the most valuable things that you have contributed to mission theory, to mission practice, and what experiences gave rise to those developments for you?
There are many things, but the one thing, if you ask me to point, is the facilitating missionary movement of the churches in Global South. As we know, in the past, missionary work has been carried on by Europeans and Americans, North Americans, who had a strong political, military, financial, and ecclesiastic powers, mostly in their, you know, colonial countries. So they carried on missionary work from the position of strength. So people considered missionary work is Western church's job. We, weak country, poor country people, and the young, weak church people cannot carry on. But the Korean church, when the church was just under Japanese colonial rule, the church was just born, and the Korea was the poorest country in the world, carried on missionary responsibility from the beginning. When Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive power, and you will be witness both in Jerusalem, or Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Yeah. It's not Jerusalem first. Mm. Mm. No, there's no country that was totally, wholly evangelized. Mm. So missionary work must be carried on from the beginning. But the most of the non-Western churches in Global South, didn't get involved in missionary work. They thought it's Western missionaries, Western churches' job. But the Korean church, as I said, when the Korea was under Japanese colonial rule, they lost their sovereignty. Church was just born, but when the first 7 seminary graduates received ordination at the General Presbytery of the Presbyterian Church in Korea, the Korean church set aside one of the first 7 ministers to work in Jeju Island as cross-cultural missionaries. Mm. When the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in Korea was organized, there were 54 ordained ministers, but the church set aside 3 ordained ministers and family to work in Shantung, China. Mm. And during Japanese colonial rule and after Korean War, the GDP was less than $70. There's no country in the world such a poor. The cared on mission responsibility. So, as I said, a church, Korean church, now, according to Patrick Johnson, as I said, 10 of the 11 largest congregations are in Korea. The largest Presbyterian church in the world is in Seoul. The largest Methodist church of the world is in Seoul. The largest Pentecostal church in the world is in Korea. Second largest Baptist church in the world is in Seoul. What made it different? And then even number of Koreans. Now Brazil, in terms of number of cross-cultural missionaries, I hear there are more than any country. But in terms of missionaries who are working among non-Koreans, foreigners, Korea has sent the largest number of missionaries. As of December 31st, 27,434 Korean missionaries working in 170 countries. What made the difference? Because from the beginning, without making excuse, Korean church worked for the evangelization of the nation and also evangelization of, you know, of the world. So, when Westerners challenged churches in Global South, why don't you launch mission abroad? Oh no, it's we are not strong as your country. We are not rich as you are. We are not mature. You know, our church is not mature. But when I go around the world and challenge the people, I have done this kind of ministry. Such, you know, Bangladesh, for instance. Bangladesh is a Muslim country. The country is, you know, still young. They were one of the Bangladesh church was one of the founding member of Asian Missions Association, but didn't send any missionary. But last year, now I repeatedly invited the leaders of Bangladesh church to international convention mission conferences I hosted, and then I visited them, repeatedly challenged them, and then told them story of a Korean church. They decided, both Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, Lutheran and two other organizations formed Bangladesh Mission Connections last year. And they held the first mission conference, and 10 of you know, Bangladesh leaders made a commitment to become missionaries.
That's fantastic.
I went to Bhutan. They were serving the Lord in the under persecution. I challenged them. Korea, when Korea church was just organized, they set aside one of the seven ordained ministers for missionary work. And now Korean church has the second largest missionary sending country, and the Korea, you know, 10 of the 11 largest churches in Bangladesh church leaders, they were shocked. And they said, we'll also start a mission movement. Why don't you come again? Last June I visited them, but they asked me to come again last December. I could not go, but still they are calling. So I'm visiting different countries. If Korean church during Japanese colonial rule, when the church was just born, just organized, and that Korea was one of the poorest country, could carry on mission responsibility. Who, which church in the world cannot carry on mission responsibility? I think that is the area I can make unique contributions.
My last question for
you
is about your hope. This is important, I think, the good timing for this question, because you are thinking about your own prayers and your own hopes for missiology in the next 20 years, in the next 30 years, this field of study, this field of practice. If you had two or three wishes about shaping missiology over the next decade or two, what are your hopes for the changing shape of missiology?
First, I wish I could encourage the churches in the Global South to participate in the Missio Day, not only in their own countries, but cross-culturally, is what I said. I hope and I will try my best to facilitate missionary movement of the churches in their current stage of church development, no matter, you know, the how they progressed. And I also want to help the global churches pray and work for the coming of the kingdom of God, not for the fulfillment of, and for the fulfillment of the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, not just the expansion of their the churches. You know, not only in Korea, and I heard that even Latin American countries, churches do not work together. You know, churches were planted and developed by different denominational missionaries from USA and then other countries. So churches are split. They do not work together mm-hmm. in harmony or in partnership. Mm-hmm. So partnership ministry is also something, you know, what mm-hmm. I want to mm-hmm. do. That's something like that.
Dr. Timothy Park, thank you so much. I appreciate this. On behalf of all of our listeners at Missiology Podcast, I want to thank you again for your time, for uh-huh. your generosity, and
thank you for inviting me.
God bless you. Thank you so much.